This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Good to have on with me today a man that has been a special friend of mine for the past 25 years. I met him in England when I was there ministering in 1991. John Noble is with us today. John was on my board of reference during our time of ministry over 20 years in England. Incredible guy. He and his wife, Christine, celebrated 58 years of marriage. And when they met in 1957, John says he was in the military service. Christine was a student at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, having been brought up in the Salvation Army. John backslid, became involved in the occult, a subject with which Christine was very familiar. During their engagement, they met a young Anglican priest, Michael Harper, who helped them in their journey to faith. John began reading the Bible with fresh eyes and came alive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Then the simplicity of church in the New Testament, after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being delivered from evil spirits shortly after their marriage, John began to minister in charismatic renewal circles, while Christine used the home to reach out to neighbors and young people John brought to the house from his Bible class. They planted their first church in East London in 1967, the very year that Gene and I went into full-time ministry. And from that time, the renewal in the UK moved in two directions, one within the denomination and the other what was known as the house or new churches. And John wrote, has been a great author in England, and he gave me the opportunity in 2002 of writing the foreword to his book, The Shaking, Turning the Church Inside Out to Turn the World Upside Down. I believe that John's book was a very prophetic book. I believe it's going to be a major handbook, workbook for the church in the coming years, not only in Great Britain, but also here in the United States of America. And I wrote in my foreword, in every arena, things are changing rapidly, including the Church of Jesus Christ. It's mind-boggling, to say the least. The church, as we know it today, in many aspects, will soon be unrecognizable. This book is a preparatory manual for every believer who is willing to make a successful transition into the 21st century. John Noble is a man ahead of his time who definitely has an insight into the new millennium. This is not ordinary or casual reading. This is a book only to be devoured by the spirit person. It's truly radical reading from a radical British Christian leader and author. John Noble has been my friend since 1991. I feel John is truly a modern-day apostle with a heart for the world. He's a pioneer, foundation builder, father figure who is willing to set the pace for the next generation. He gives us all something to shoot for. I highly esteem this man of God, highly recommend these readings. The Shaking is not just a book, it's an adventure. Hey, John Noble, good to have you on BPN Radio today.
Great to be with you, Dale.
What prompted you to write this book, The Shaking?
Well, I reckon I'd been observing years, and I saw that there were many changes, but there were certain things that concerned me. The whole aspect of apostolic ministry, which had been picked up by many in recent years, I believe to some degree has been misunderstood. There are many great apostles in the world, but I could see that often apostles were people who appeared to be successful, perhaps even running a church like business. And I began to feel that there's something that people need to understand about the apostolic ministry, which is going to revolutionize the way that we view church.
Okay, so how do you the Shaking is I believe that book was written for today. I've just been reviewing my copy. I just believe it's for today. And how do you, as the church moves forward, I know I'm stepping out into a whole new dimension because I have a radio church. And yep. I have an audience that attends church by radio, and a lot of people don't understand that. But I know I've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I have members across America, in England, other parts of the world. And I would say that that is something that a few years ago would not have been heard of, probably. But I have this microphone and this internet radio station, so I'm moving forward. So what shaking, what things do you see coming as unrecognizable a few years ago, as far as the church is concerned, throughout America and throughout Great Britain, Europe, and the world?
Well, I think two things that Jesus spoke and talked about the church. He didn't talk regularly about the church. He spoke in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. And the first thing is that we have a relationship with Jesus, where two or three are gathered in my name, there is. And that gathering is to do with a relationship with Jesus, which is based on his values, not our values. And then the second thing in Matthew 18 is to do with the church having a relationship with one another in reality, where we actually speak the truth to one another in love, and that we agree with one another as we move on. And we see that where two shall agree, they can ask anything in the name of Jesus. So for me, the smallest or the minutest church that you can have, two or three gathered in Jesus, and that is church, based on those values and the relationships. And of course, the church grows. And so I believe you've got many relationships across the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And I know that many people are listening to you now that you've had relationships with years. And those relationships are the basis on which we build the church, a love of Jesus and a love for one another.
So the church is not just a building on a corner somewhere.
Absolutely not. The church is the people of God. The ultimate church is the universal church, which is every single born-again believer from the beginning of Jesus' ministry right through to the church today. And the church is a universal church. It's a Catholic church in that sense, not necessarily Roman Catholic, but that's Roman is limited, but Catholic is universal.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the mobile church that is going on, how do you describe the mobile church? Because I know that we in America particularly are living in a very mobile society, transition society, people moving from one city to another city, or, you know, even internationally. So what do you mean when you talk about the mobile church?
Well, the first church Jesus created was mobile church.
John, you were cutting out just a little bit. Can you repeat that?
The first church Jesus created brought to be a mobile church. He called his apostolic ministries together, and they were a mobile team. And the first church in the Jerusalem after the resurrection, when the Holy Spirit came, was an inter-church. People gathered from all over the place, and those people went back and took church with them. So,
Hey, John. Yeah. John, you have some very important things to say, but you're cutting out right now. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play a song and see if I can get you on my phone, and if that's possible, because you're cutting out there. You've got too many important things to say, and I'm going to play a song by a mutual friend of ours who has come to America from England, and his name is Tony Gamble. Tony, I'm going to play one of his songs, and I'm going to see if we can get a connection here because you have so many important things to say. So I'll be right back to see if I can get you on the phone here. Here's Tony Gamble. Thank you. Okay, there's our John Noble and I's mutual friend Tony Gamble, and takes us all the way back to Marsham Street, 1996, in a song that he sang there. Okay, I've got John back on the phone here. We had him on Skype, and we did not have a good connection. But John, welcome back at BPN
Radio.
Thank
you, Dale.
And
thank you.
Yeah, and so good to have you on. Thank you for being my friend since we met 1991. Every day I pray for divine appointments and divine connections, and definitely I felt connected to you from the very start. Gene and I started our journey in England in 1990, and by the invitation of Gerald Coates and Norman Barnes, and then we met you in 1991, and
right.
We've been friends all along. And of course, I consider you as a true apostle and a father figure, a man that has been in the ministry for all of these years. You've been down the road,
yep.
And I honor you and I salute you. And we were talking about when we started cutting out about what you see there's a shaking going on, and I encourage everybody to get your book, The Shaking. Is it still available?
Well, I have some here. I don't know whether it's available, maybe on Amazon or somewhere like that, maybe. But
okay.
I have some.
Okay. Do you have a website or a place?
Yeah,
that people...
I could send you some, Dale.
Okay. Okay.
They people get in touch
they,
with you.
They can get
they can
in touch.
Get copies from you.
Yeah, that'll be good. And so you wrote the book, The Shaking, which I believe is a prophetic book for 2016, 2017. I believe the church is about to go through the biggest upheaval that we have ever known in my lifetime, your lifetime. And let me ask you again, the shaking is going on. Everything, the prophet of old said that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken.
Yeah.
And so what is the church about to experience in Great Britain and America, maybe that we have not experienced before? And what is going to be the role of the, I know I'm asking a huge question here, what's going to be the role of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, church leader, shepherd.
Yeah.
So what do you see happening in the book? It you know, you talked about the mobile church, the transition church, what's going on. We know that, you know, I do believe in the local church. In fact, you know, I was you were part of a local church that I was ministering at there in Cobham, England, for several years, and then of course the Pioneer Movement that you were there in leadership and a father figure
sure.
of that,
yeah.
and so but today we are having an upheaval. There's an upheaval going on.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Tell me what you see. Describe what you see happening, John.
Well, while I was writing the book, Dale, I had a dream, which I'm not a great dreamer, but or at least I don't dream significant things. And I saw some huge rocks and stones that had been there for centuries, hewn by the wind and the rain. And then I saw a lot of institutional buildings around these rocks. And the rocks were finely balanced. And suddenly they began to shake, and the rocks fell. And the institutions were blown apart. They were cracked wide open. And we saw banks. We saw churches even. We saw... all kinds of institutions that have been there for centuries being shaken. And I was shocked to think that even the church was being shaken and was falling. And I think what we're experiencing is what it said in Hebrews, that all that can be shaken is going to be shaken, so that that which cannot be shaken will remain.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is the importance of the apostolic ministry in these days, that it will get right down to the very basics of what church and relationships are about. I think the thing about Jesus was, in his apostolic ministry, the primary thing that he did was to reconcile. Yeah, he did wonderful things. He did miracles. He built an apostolic team. He went to the cross, which was the most amazing thing. He rose from the dead. But in all of it, he was preparing to bring about a ministry that could carry on the work of reconciliation that he began. And I think today, often when we talk about apostolic ministry, we look at successful churches, we look at sometimes being run by businesses, and they're successful, they're doing a great work. But that is not the primary ministry of the apostle. The apostle brings things which would not normally come together. He brings them, or she brings them together. And we see that in Jesus when he brought the pastoral ministry together with the evangelistic ministry. he brought the teaching ministry together with the prophetic ministry, and they played off one another, and he left it in their hands to continue the work that he had begun. So for me, reconciliation, holding together the tensions in the church, is the first thing that an apostolic ministry must be involved in. So I don't know if that's helpful or not.
Yeah, you know, it is. I guess I have a major concern, having been in the ministry for 50 years. We have, you probably already know this, John, but we have thousands of churches in America, and I know you've experienced this in England and Britain. We have thousands of churches every year that are closing in America. 1,500 preachers, pastors, church leaders are absolutely leaving the ministry. And so we have smaller groups that are totally disintegrating and being swallowed up by what I would call mega churches, where they hear a preacher, but they may not have a pastor or a shepherd. So I believe there's people that may be in a church, part of a church, but they don't have a pastor, they don't have a shepherd, they don't have anyone that that can touch them or reach out to them. And so we have sheep that are being scattered. They may be meeting possibly on a Sunday, but more and more people in America are working on Sunday, or they're too tired on Sunday. And we now have over 50% of Christians in America that is not attending church. How can you explain what is happening?
Well, obviously that began to happen over here when the institutions began to fail. And we saw people beginning to do what they'd done so often in the past, which is to meet together in homes and to begin to build relationships together, and then to discover other people of like mind and receive ministry that God is raising up. And I think what God is doing is raising up a ministry that can care for the church, that can bring teaching into the church, that can be involved in prophetic stuff, which is so necessary in these days to help people understand what's taking place in the world. And we begin to see that those ministries are beginning to relate to one another as well. So they're not isolated individuals doing their own thing, but they're people across the denominations even that are opening their hearts up to see what God is doing. And they're seeing the failure of the institution and the failure of the organization, and they're seeing something organic beginning to build in terms of relationships. I think that's incredibly important.
I believe it. So can you explain what you mean when you talk about the church without walls? What does that mean, church without walls?
Well, I think the thing is that if Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them," that is to do with a relationship with him and a quality of life that we experience with one another. That is to do with a quality of life. It's not to do with signing up necessarily to a church membership. And what I think is that we've got to get back to the basics of what Christianity is all about. And then we find that we meet others with that same quality of life. And we see that church appears all over the place. I think you remember that vision that Ezekiel had of the water flowing from the throne of God. Mm-hmm. Water can take on the shape of any container, and it brings life wherever it goes. And I think if we're concerned about the quality of life, then we will see that we can meet that same quality in other people, in other countries, in other situations. We can see church emerging in the workplace. We can see church growing up in the school. We can see it in all kinds, perhaps in a surgery, a doctor's surgery. We can see church. We can see people who relate to one another, who acknowledge Jesus together, and they begin to work together in those situations for the glory of God. So church is a fluid thing. It's flexible.
So you're talking about some doctors and nurses gathering together to have a weekly church service. Who is their pastor? Who is their shepherd? How does that work?
Well, I think the point is that we've seen in the UK that God has raised up ministry, and that ministry is not confined to one denomination. We've seen over recent years huge relationships built through coming together in quiet times, together in conference, and we've seen that God has drawn together people from different backgrounds. And so there's a whole raft of ministries that people recognize in the nation, and they begin to look to them for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
We see that those people get together in networks, which are not necessarily denominational networks, but they're networks that are held together through relationship and through ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And then those ministry teams begin to relate to one another, and we see a church which is being transformed. And so what happened in the new churches 25, 30, 40 years ago, we see actually taking place in many denominational churches. And they are moving in ministry and creativity and in the relationships, the kind of relationships that we were experiencing back there. So this message is spreading, and it's like a disease. It's something that needs to be caught, if you know what I mean. So that we're actually... We're getting this quality of life flowing through our veins, and we recognize the church wherever we see it in all of its glory and all of its blessing. So we've been very blessed over here in the UK to see those relationships expanding, and we've built relationships with key ministries right across the board. In fact, one of the things that you may remember is that I was chairman of what was called the National Charismatic and Pentecostal Charismatic Leaders Conference for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw people coming together over those years to learn how to experience one another, to chat through our doctrinal differences, to pray for one another. And so a very strong relational base has been built in the church in this nation. I believe it's happening in the States as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, I know that you are a valid minister. You're not just someone that has shown up with some new doctrine or theology. You've been in the ministry.
Right.
You've been in the ministry going on 60 years. You're a true father figure, and I believe that that men like you and I, we have a role to play in these days. And of course, I know
Absolutely.
That I'm a prophetic voice, but I also believe that I have a pastoral voice. And I believe you're the same. You're a true apostle. Giving oversight, but you have a pastoral voice as well, because I know that so many, many leaders across England and the UK certainly consider you as a spiritual father or a pastor figure, a shepherd, and I know that you have been very faithful, very consistent to do that. And so, you know, I believe that we in America can look and see what happened in England to get a glimpse of what's taking place in America, because I know that, you know, I ministered for a man by the name of, last time I was there, Billy Kennedy. And, you know, Billy Kennedy, and he was telling me how that the Methodist Church had reached the apex of their church movement in 1910. And that was the apex of their movement, and now that hundreds of Methodist churches were being turned over to him, or in the process of being turned over to him, because the church, the lamp has gone out, the Methodist Church in England, and so many buildings have been closed, and so you know, I believe there's a lot of churches in America that are in decline. I believe there's a lot of men that are becoming very discouraged in the ministry, leaving the ministry, getting burned out of the ministry, because they do not realize or discern their season, their times. I believe that we must be discerning of our times. And John, what could you say, John Noble? What could you say to the church in America, to Christians in America, because concerning what has happened in England and what we might be able to look at, and what role the apostles in America are now playing. Here's what I believe, and you can respond to this, but I believe that a lot of men that call themselves pastors are actually apostles, and I believe they're giving oversight to a lot of different congregations in their church. Like you say, doctors and nurses having a church service during the week, during the hospital, or maybe an apartment building, or maybe neighborhoods coming together to have church.
Sure.
So as an apostle, what what can we look for? How can we discern the times that we're living in, John, the shaking that's going on?
Well, you know, I think one of the key issues is that we need to look at Jesus. I mean, that sounds trite. It sounds obvious. But the trouble is that we keep rewriting the books, as it were, in accordance with things that have proved to be a blessing to us, rather than coming back to the basic of Jesus. And that ministry of Jesus was radical. It was relational. It was incarnational. And I think today, it seems to me that the apostle has been given a comeback, as it were. Mm-hmm. The restoration. We lost the apostles and we lost the prophetic ministry when the church became more pastoral and more administrative. And then we lost the pastoral ministry itself and the teacher and the evangelist, and the word of God became buried in a dead language.
Mm-hmm.
The reverse has begun to happen when the Bible translators gave us back the word of God, the pulpit was restored, the evangelist was raised up, and the pastoral ministry, and the church moved into a missional phase. Then came the Pentecostal outpouring and the charismatic outpouring and the restoration of the prophet and the understanding of the prophetic. Now, all of that is fantastic, but that needs, if you like, the master builder, not a special person in the sense that they're above everybody else, but someone that has the ability to hold these things together and to bring the anointing of God onto the church itself. So I believe the ultimate is that the church becomes the apostle. Because we relate to that kind of reconciliatory ministry, the life of Jesus begins to grow within the church. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the ministry being there to equip the church, to bring the church to the fullness of Christ. It's not there for itself. And so many ministries today that are supposed to be apostles focus on their own ministry and their own works rather than equipping the church to do the work of ministry. The great thrust in the final close of the church's ministry will be when the anointing of Jesus' apostolic ministry rests on the church. When the prophetic ministry rests on the church become apostles sent out into the community. They become prophets sent out into the community. But all of that needs to come back to receiving the revelation through the ministries that God is raising up. So I encourage people to look around, to see, what did Jesus look like? What did he do? Who are the ministries that are doing what Jesus did and encouraging people in the way that Jesus encouraged them?
Mm-hmm.
My experience of you, Dale, is that you're a prophetic apostle as well as pastoral. You have a huge prophetic ministry, and you've been apostling, as it were, for years and encouraging people along these lines. So I'm very encouraged with what you're doing right at this very minute.
Thank you very much, John, and I appreciate your input. And, you know, we need to hear, Christians need to hear from people like you that's been down the road, that has been able to make transition after transition. And there are going to be transitions, because transitions are necessary, and you are still alert, alive, anointed, and on the cutting edge. I guess one of the major concerns I have, John, is are the pastors, the shepherds that are dropping out of the ministry. What are they doing right now? Where are they going? And what about 50% of Christians in America that are not attending church? I mean, they love Jesus. They don't have it for different reasons. Maybe they're have become immobile. Maybe they are shut in. Maybe have to work on Sundays, which is most of the time. Most churches in America now only having a Sunday morning service. So if you can't attend on Sunday morning because there's no Sunday night, Wednesday night, then you are left out. And so there's some people that's being left out. What can we say to this group that has been lost in the shuffle? All of these pastors, ministers that have become discouraged or been voted out, terminated, run off by maybe a church board, or you know, those that just got discouraged and just left,
sure.
and they're out there wandering around. What can we do with this group? How can we speak to them and the Christians that are not involved in a local church? We live in a very mobile society, and you address that of people that move from place to place and just kind of get lost in the shuffle. And I asked, I met one godly couple who were missionaries, and I said, where do you go to church? They said, well, we're just kind of in between churches. So, you know, we can either ignore that and say, well, we believe in the local church and we're not, the building. And if you're not a part of that, you need to get involved. And, we can discount that, but it's a reality. And it's happening, and I believe that men like you and I needs to address it. So what would you say to these pastors, shepherds, leaders, and people that are no longer have a shepherd, no longer have a church? How could you address them today and speak an encouraging word to them?
Well, I want to say that, first of all, if they're baptized in the Holy Spirit and they have a hunger, Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. If we have a hunger for what God wants, I think sometimes when we get disillusioned, we stop seeking. Jesus said, seek. And I think that I was very encouraged some years ago when I was struggling with these very issues and wondering what we could do. And I heard the Lord say, I will build my church. You get on and do what I'm calling you to do, and I will build my church. So I'm encouraged that the Holy Spirit is at work amongst these people. And if they have a hunger, then God will begin to lead them. And that's when we began to meet in little groups in our homes. And then suddenly we discovered others were doing the same. They had the same spirit, the same hunger, the same longing. And they begin to network together. We began to receive ministry from those that God was raising up in apostolic and prophetic ministry. And a new structure emerged based on those relationships. And I have great hope that in the shaking, that God is going to give us a fresh opportunity. You know, many people have said about what's happened in the United States that when the dust has settled, this is giving us a new opportunity.
Yes.
And I don't want to be despondent about what is happening. I want to believe that when we're shaken and when things are tough, that if we hold on to God, He will direct us in a new way, and we'll see a new church, a stronger church, a more powerful church, a relational church rising up again. And it certainly happened in here in the UK back there in those early days. I believe it's still going on. We still have many needs. But I believe it's also happening in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do believe in local church,
mm-hmm.
but we also believe in the church in the home. We believe in mega church. We believe in a mega church that is made up of small groups of people in relationships, so that the quality of life is not lost when we just get into a preaching or conference style church, because it's back there in the homes, it's back there in the localities, and when we come together, we bring that same quality of life together. So I have great hope in these times of shaking that God is going to do something very, very, very special. I'm not despondent at all.
No, I believe that. I believe that we're going through a shaking in America, and some people can't believe the changes that are happening so rapidly.
Absolutely.
But I believe, and I prophesied this years ago when I was in England, that what used to take 6 years would take 6 months. What used to take six months would take 6 weeks. What used to take 6 weeks would take 6 days. I just believe that everything is happening suddenly. But I believe that there is a shaking that's going to happen, is happening, and I believe we're going to experience an incredible spiritual awakening in America, as well as other nations of the world. The prophetic words that Joel gave thousands of years ago and Peter rehearsed on the day of Pentecost, I believe we're moving into that. And I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. I want to be a proponent of that, John Noble.
Yeah.
And I know that you do, too. And I believe that God has extended probably our lifetime in order to be able to speak an encouraging word to these people that are coming along, particularly those that are coming out of obscurity. I've been prophesying young people coming out of obscurity, women coming out of obscurity to preach and lead churches, as well as Spanish-speaking people. I believe that everything is going to be shaken up. So those things cannot be shaken, will remain, and then we're going to see an incredible outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I know that you've experienced many changes and transitions, and you are still strong, and you are still a strong voice. What maybe give quickly two or three transitions that happened in England to the church that could have brought a disintegration, but it didn't. You kept going.
Yes, I think there was a transition when we saw the simplicity of church, when we saw the things that matter. So much evolved around a building, around meetings, about times and schedules. And for a time, some of us even stopped meeting, which, I'm not advocating that, but sometimes it's almost necessary to break something so that we can transition from all the things that can sometimes weigh us down, all the workloads and the schedules that we have to keep. And as we come back to the basic relationship, loving one another, serving one another, eating together. Mm-hmm. Jesus in his apostolic commission said, sit down, eat with people, let your peace come on the home where you are. And if we can begin to see that, we'll be amazed at what begins to happen as we break the shackles of the things that really hold us down and get back to the ordinary things. The second thing I want to say is to get back to the message of the kingdom. Jesus began to do and to teach, and he taught about the kingdom. And I think we've lost that sort of kingdom message in the midst of all the important structural things that we have to do. The kingdom is alive. It's something that grows. I remember watching a film called The Terminator years and years ago. I'm not sure you should watch that one, but anyway.
Yeah.
There was a Quicksilver man. He was an evil man, but he could break down into Quicksilver. He could get under a door and recreate himself the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is like that Quicksilver, only positive, good. We can actually break ourselves down. In China, when the persecution came and the churches were closed, what happened? The church broke down and it got under the door and reinvented itself. And now the church is as strong in China, if not as anywhere in the world today. So we want a church that's alive, it's flexible, it's fluid, it's basing itself on the fundamentals of love, of relationship, of sacrifice, and we'll be amazed at what God can do. So I have great hope, and I just would say to all of those folks that have perhaps got disillusioned with churches as they knew it, to not jettison the idea that God is building his church and that it's going to be a church that will withstand all the shaking that the enemy can throw at it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a church that can bring the revelation of the fullness of Christ, which is an amazing thought, the church becoming the hands, the feet, the voice of Jesus living in society today. That's a tremendous thought.
Yeah, thank you, John Noble. And I believe that the thing that I've kept in perspective since Gene and I started in traveling ministry in 1985, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go where you have a connection. Go where you have a relationship.
You got it.
I believe it's based on relationships.
Yeah.
And, I was a part of the fastest growing church in the 80s, the fastest growing church in America, and it grew to thousands of people. But yeah. I would meet some of the people, some of the guys that were in leadership, and they would say things like, well, I relate to so-and-so, who's an elder in this church. And I was thinking, well, the senior pastor, the senior leader is the one you should be relating to. But it was such a large, growing church that I finally figured it out that people, even leaders in the church, were building a relationship with an elder in the church there. Not to disrupt or bring disunity, but someone they related to with, someone they could have fellowship with, a meal with, a prayer with, go to, and I believe it's happening.
Absolutely. Can I just say a quick thing about this?
Yeah,
because,
go ahead.
Because there were three words that God gave to us about relationships. The first was revelation. God brought us in contact with people, and we had a revelation that we should be working together, praying together, doing what we're doing together. The second thing was reduction. When you have a relationship, you if it's a real one, you find out the truth about one another, mm-hmm. and you go into a period perhaps of disillusionment. Now, it's important to hold on to those relationships during that time. Mm-hmm. And when you go through reduction, you come into reality. Mm-hmm. And I've known Gerald Coates, my friend now. You know Gerald. Yeah. I've known him for many, many years.
Sure.
We have stuck through those three areas. We had a revelation we should be together. We had a reduction when we discovered what the other one was really like. And then mm-hmm. we got to love one another through that. And we now have a relationship in reality. And we can work together. And those relationships stand the test of time.
Yes, they do.
And the church grows as those relationships kind of spread. And that depth of relationship is there in the middle. So I think mm-hmm. it's tremendously important.
Absolutely. And, you know, Gene and I have tried to our best to live by this principle. And, you know,
yes.
once I came to England, I knew where my connections were. And and I'll always be thankful to you, John Noble, and Gerald Coates, and R.T. Kendall, and Martin Smith, and Noel Richards, and Martin Scott, and Roger Ellis, and Alistair Bullen. You guys may have left out one or two, but you guys that served with me on my board of reference and loved me, accepted Gene and I, stood with us, supported us, encouraged us, and I knew I found my group. And you know, the Bible said in the Book of Acts, they came back to their group. You know, they came back to their own company, and I believe that's what God is doing in these days. And I'm so thankful that I have a relationship with you, and Gene, and I have a relationship with you and Christine. What a blessing you've been over the years, and even though we've not got to see in the past 3 years, it's like we get to see each other all the time because we're there in spirit. And speaking of your wife, Christine, before you pray for the church and those that are listening today, I want you to pray for those who whose companion may be experiencing dementia. I know that Christine is going through that. I know it's got to be a tremendous challenge. She's just so energetic, such a wonderful lady, very artistic, bombastic, prophetic. We love Christine. And I know it's got to be difficult on you. And would you maybe address that for a moment, say a prayer for those whose companion or parents may be experiencing dementia, Alzheimer's, and then include a prayer for the church. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes here.
Thank you very much, Dale. I just want to read a scripture which has been with me for a number of years and has been a help. It's in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And in the midst of all these shakings, Lord, we want to thank you that even when the road is tough and it's dark, and it almost seems as if you're not there, that promise is made to each one of us that you will hold on to us, even when we can't hold on to you. And I want to lift up all of those who are suffering, just as Christine and I are at this time, this devastating disease, which no one knows how painful it can be until you're experiencing yourself. Lord, we pray for them that they will receive special strength, special grace at this time, to come through these circumstances and see that even in the midst of it all, that we can trace the rainbow through the rain and know the promise is not vain, that morn will tearless be. I pray for real encouragement for those that are going through it to believe that God can even use these circumstances that they're in for good. And Lord, for your church at large, we lift it up and we say, church with broken rings, rise up. You can be healed. You can fly again. We can have the grace of God to see what he is doing and work with him in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. John Noble, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for giving me an entrance into your life, into your life 25 years ago. And I want you to come back soon. I believe there's a lot more that we could talk about, pray about. And I want to encourage everybody to get the book, The Shaking. I believe it's a prophetic, turning the church inside out to turn the world upside down. John Noble, apostle from England. I want you to come back, and people can write us here at breakoutprayernetwork@gmail.com, breakoutprayernetwork@gmail.com, and we can get that book to them. Thank you for being on. God bless you as you continue to finish strong and to make your voice heard. And we'll talk to you again soon.
The Lord bless you. The
Lord bless
you.
Okay.
Amen.
Bye-bye. Okay. It's great to have our friend on, John Noble. What a wonderful man.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax-deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the youth.